Welcome back. If you're just joining me, it's me, Michael, Dr. T. Tequila, right here on Your Pet Matters and the Collaborative Vet Podcast. I wanted to finish this discussion here, going back to my original opportunities discussion, that I just thought about things for senior pets, opportunities that your veterinarian hopefully will take and should take to talk to you about your senior pet. Number one, nutrition. Senior pets have unique nutritional needs. And there's changes in them that occur through age and metabolism, changes in digestion, changes with specific organ function. So that's why your veterinarian is going to talk to you about senior diets. They're tailored and formulated to address these needs. And they often contain things that middle-aged to older people and pets need, such as joint health, glucosamine chondroitin, probiotics, prebiotics for digestive health. And there are antioxidants and omega fatty acids, both for joint health, heart health, and cognitive function. So that's really important to think about. And the general consensus is, unless you're a very large breed dog, the general average is 7 years plus is senior. I think if you're a large breed dog, 5 years plus is senior. And the I laugh because in the pet world, you get puppy or kitten, you get adult, then you get senior. And then the two ages we don't talk about, but I talk about in the exam room, are middle age and geriatric. So just keep in mind that 7 year issue. And many of us, myself included, we look at our pets and we go, oh my, they are this old. So time does fly, so just keep tabs on it. Your veterinarian is going to be one to cue you for that, about when a senior is. So we have nutrition, but what goes along with nutrition is healthy weight. Obesity affects pets exactly like us. Obesity has a higher risk of diabetes, is more stress on your joints and your heart. And throughout the age range in pets in the US, obesity is a problem. So paired along with nutrition is obesity. And by consulting with your veterinarian, you'll get the best dietary recommendations based on the various health considerations. And there are special, so as your pet ages, disease processes can occur, in which case there are specialized diets for certain disease processes. There are three companies that do R&D for disease processes. They are namely Hill's, they are Royal Canin, and they are Purina. So it is going to be one of those three therapeutic diets, those companies that your veterinarian will talk about. Number two, we talked about last segment, the flea and tick prevention. Well, senior pets, or as pets get older, as we get older, the immune systems weaken, thus making them more vulnerable to tick-borne diseases. Year-round prevention, as I stated twice last time, is vital to protect your senior pet from these parasites and the diseases they carry. Remember, the options are topical, oral. Oh, there are, yeah, I forgot to say, there's collars for tick. Collars work for some pets. You have to remember to change them out, and many can be very, very toxic to your pet if they should eat them. I think the biggest thing to take is that year-round prevention. If you use the products that you have to change every 3 months, mark your calendars. There is no reason in today's day and age that you cannot toggle your phone to create a reminder for you, and it'll really help. Also, regularly check your pet for ticks and fleas. As the climate changes, we are seeing an influx of infestation of insects. And I still get clients that are uncertain about what a tick is. I pulled a tick off a dog's nose last week. The client thought it was a mass. It was an engorged tick. Oh, and in my neck of the woods, or you can ship it across the states, there's a lab in New Jersey that will test ticks. And I've stayed there. It's New Jersey Laboratories, I think. And then if you look up tick test or whatever, you Google tick test, and you take the tick, do not put it in alcohol, keep it in water. You can pay before you have to send a check. Now you can actually pay by credit card online. And you get a form and you send the tick in with that. And in a few days, you'll get a report back. So if the tick's bitten you, ask for the study that looks for human disease. And then if the tick's bitten your pet, ask them to test. And even if you just find a tick on them, you can get that analyzed. But if you find an engorged tick, there's a higher risk that disease has been spread. So just keep that in mind. And your vet will talk to you about when to test, what signs to look for, etc. This is the biggest thing, I think, is wellness exams and wellness screening. So as your pet ages, they're not, every year is not equivalent to 7 years in human, but it'll be probably 3 years every year. So most vets are trying to get clients to come in twice a year, every 6 months for blood work. You have to keep in mind, that's up to 2 to 3 years of your pet's life that we're doing blood work. I would love it if we could see your pet 3 times a year. I state that when there's cardiac disease, I want to listen to that heart every 4 months because 4 months is a year. I want to do blood panels every 4 to 6 months because that's a year in your pet's life and big changes can occur. So wellness exams, wellness blood screens. I could do a physical exam on what it appears to be a healthy senior pet and the blood values could be whack. And they could be whack because the body can compensate. The body can compensate up to 60% loss of organ function before you see clinical signs. So there's no way I can look at your pet metabolically, physically, and say this is going on unless they have clinical disease signs already. And my goal as your pet's doctor is to prevent or detect disease early. And speaking of early detection of disease, there are now cancer screens. So cancer is just as prevalent in pets as it is in human, which I believe now is 1 in 4. So regular cancer screenings is probably your definitive early detection and intervention process. And there are common signs of cancer in pets. But before that, before you see the unexplained weight loss, before you find the lumps and bumps, before you see changes in appetite and energy levels, before you see vomiting and difficulty breathing, there are blood tests that exist that look for markers for the most common cancers. Something definitely to talk to your veterinarian about. And they're trying to make them reasonably priced. And in all honesty, if let's say the test is $300-$400, is that worth peace of mind to find cancer earlier in my pet? I think it is. Finally, vaccines. There's a common misconception that senior pets don't need vaccines. And there's a lot of talk about there about over-vaccinating pets. And yes, there is a very small subset of veterinarians that are still doing annual vaccines on certain of the vaccines that we now recognize should have an immunity longer than that. But because you get this groups of individuals saying, do not vaccinate your pet, even the incompletion of puppy and kitten vaccines. I can't tell you the frustration veterinarians finding parvovirus on young adult pets because they weren't properly vaccinated. The result of not vaccinating your pet on a regular basis is that disease appears and spreads. And parvo is the huge thing. So typically in a dog, you want to vaccinate them up to 16 weeks of age. They have to have multiple parvo vaccine series until they're 16 weeks of age, unless they're like a Rottweiler who's huge propensity to get parvo. We'll do them to 20, sometimes 24 weeks of age. So it's very important to talk to your veterinarian about that. And we talk about this a lot, but there are core vaccines, which are namely rabies and distemper. What you need to know as a pet parent is distemper is just as fatal as rabies. It is a virus that can take the life of your pet. And as long, I think the best guideline is as long as your pet is healthy, you can continue to vaccinate them. When your pet becomes not healthy or in cancer diagnoses, that's when you're going to have discussions of doing titers. And titers are an alternative for vaccines, but you need to know that titers don't fully determine whether your pet has adequate immunity. We use them a lot. We use them as a guideline. But even the oncologists I know that will do titers, if the titer is low, then you have to weigh the risk of getting that disease versus the risk of the vaccine. And for a majority, 90 some odd percent plus, vaccines are safe. And every veterinarian will talk to you about vaccine reactions. I love getting vaccines at human places where I'm handed a piece of paper. And based on the paper, it says, hey, you could die. So I love the fact that your veterinarian will say, here's the signs and symptoms to look out for if you're having a reaction. Typical reactions are mild. They're pain, lethargy, maybe a mild fever. Those are typical reactions. I go through the whole gamut. I say, with your pet, you may not notice anything. You may notice pain in the site. You may notice a little lethargy, but that should pass. It's the big signs you want to look out for. You want to look out for severe lethargy, swelling of the face and neck, vomiting, crashing. Those are true, true vaccine reactions. And there's a whole spectrum of mild to moderate to severe. And in mild cases, it can be balanced by the use of Benadryl. Pre-medding your pet with Benadryl, doing Benadryl for a couple days after will really help to get that vaccine on board if that disease process is fatal. Many of those diseases that we vaccinate for are fatal, and that's why we're recommending doing it. But your vet will assess the health status of your senior pet, have a discussion with you. I think a big change in the veterinary world is that we do much less vaccines per session. I think as you increase the vaccines per session, A, you don't know, you know, if you don't place them in the usual spots that you should place. And the reason why your vet gives vaccines in particular areas is if there is a reaction, they can isolate that vaccine. And worst case scenario, never give it again. Best case scenario, just know that it's in there. Mild case scenario, know they have to do Benadryl before. But if you give a bunch of vaccines or you mix vaccines, you know, it can lead to, well, which vaccine led to this reaction? So I'm a proponent for not mixing vaccines. I'm a proponent for isolating different sites and doing not as many vaccines, especially these tiny pets that come in. Okay, well, that's it. Thanks for listening. And I hope this was informative. And remember, everyone, love your pet like they love you unconditionally. Have a great day.